T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp back. Woo! Steven Serta here. First time in a week we've all three been back on the show together.
It's been a little while.
A little bit. Nothing's happened.
You took a couple days off?
Nothing's happened, Cody.
You took a couple days off?
Nothing's happened.
Did I miss anything?
Nope, not a thing. Not a thing.
Such a degenerate. I legitimately almost like drove in like that second. I think it came right after the show on Thursday, on Monday. So that wasn't worth it. And then I'm like, God, I should probably just cut this vacation short.
I was wondering Tuesday, right? I was wondering if you were going to make the phone call. If you're going to be like, you know what, guys, I'm coming in.
I was seriously considering it, but was talked out of it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
By smarter parties. Than
I don't blame you.
I think if it were just me, like right in a vacuum, I'd have just been here. Talking about Patrick Mahomes' new contract because, I don't know, Kansas City just signed a guy for $500 million. I did, however, sit in on his conference call the entire day yesterday, so I didn't completely.
It's one of those where, as I think we've all all experienced now different levels of it, but you can't, you know. Unfortunately,
sports
when you take
don't
off,
stop, so you can't.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
just happens.
They do now, but less so.
That's for sure. So we will talk plenty more about Patrick Mahomes and the new deal. Of course, we carried that press conference of Mahomes, Veach, and Reed yesterday during the show. But a few things certainly stood out and deserve some further conversation. Specifically at 10:30, we'll get to Andy Reed and his future in Kansas City and just how many more years to come. I think you'll really like what Andy Reed had to say about how he envisions the next, who knows, 5-10 years going.
Ideally,
in,
12.
Of his career. Ideally, 12. Plus, yeah, that's the length of
at least
that whole
12
deal.
Would be great.
So we will talk and hear from Andy Reid on that coming up at 10:30. Of course, you can hit us up on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. That's the text line, the phone line. If you don't already have it, that's the new number. Save it into your phone. Also on Twitter, at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, and at Steven Serta. So Mahomes, of course, have been all the headlines for the last couple of days. But meanwhile, baseball's had plenty of issues across with whether getting testing results. Fortunately, that particular issue hasn't been a problem in Kansas City. The Royals and their partnerships, they've been able to get results on a quick basis, unlike Houston or the A's or
Nationals had problems.
Go on and on. But we did learn that the Royals now have 3 positive tests for COVID-19. The Royals announced that with permission from the players to do so. Again, there's some teams that haven't announced why someone's missing time, or they don't have to, HIPAA law, but players can give the
it's not hard for us to
go ahead. Yeah, eventually, that's the thing. If someone's gone for 10 days, you're going to...
And you haven't mentioned it's an oblique strain? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Royals did announce with approval Ryan O'Hearn and Brad Keller, the two latest members of the team to test positive for COVID-19. They joined Salvador Perez, and I think what's troubling about this, just in terms of on the sports front, besides the obvious health issue for these guys, but is when you look at the time frame of what this can be from the testing that took place last week, workouts were Friday, Wednesday is when they had the test, and now that they've been on the practice field, right? They've been out the K, now these are a couple positive tests that come, and the games haven't even started, and you're seeing this, so individuals they may have interacted with, who knows what other...
Well, I mean, it would have been fairly reasonable to assume Brad Keller and Salvador Perez interacted.
Sure, just
that's not a huge leap to make.
Surface of the baseball and everything else, yeah.
Well, no one's going to have more contact baseball to person than the pitcher and catcher, especially in a summer camp or spring training type scenario where they're working sides with catchers. There's just no way to have more contact than that. So it's not like a leap to say those two guys were in contact.
No, not at all. And then, okay, pitcher versus position player.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news on the health end is both are experiencing very minor symptoms. I believe Brad Keller said it's kind of like minor allergies is kind of how he's feeling.
Yeah,
right
Ryan
now,
Hearn
right?
said he felt fine.
So that's, and Salvador Perez sent out an Instagram post last night as well. Said basically he's feeling a lot better. In fact, he had a bunch of hardware behind him as well, as in gold gloves and everything like that. So he's doing okay. But on the baseball end, specifically with pitchers, man, it's a 3-week spring training. You're trying to ramp up. You're trying to stretch out in a 3-week period anyway to begin with. Opening day is July 24th when you go out to Cleveland. Brad Keller obviously was most likely to be your opening day starter. I guess could still be so, but that's the concern with pitchers in season or before the season. That's a couple starts out of a season where you're not getting many starts out of the get-go with the entire season. So that's what's really troubling just from a baseball perspective with it, too. Not to mention just the obvious, which is, all right, the testing issues that may or may not be going on throughout baseball.
Well, the issue still is we're in these like baseball mini bubbles. So it's not really a bubble. Everyone's in Kansas City. They're free to go where they go. We assume most people are taking personal responsibility. But because the incubation period goal, I think what we're going to run into is very few times where it's one. You know what it feels like in baseball right now? It's going to be multiples. Like you're going to get more than one person at a time. And then you got to cycle through these roster issues going forward. Yeah, Brad Keller would have most likely probably been the opening day starter for the Royals. Is he now? I would assume not. It doesn't mean for sure one way or the other, but if you listen to quotes from Dayton Moore and speaking to multiple reporters, obviously he'll say to Flanny yesterday, it's a little more problematic for a starting pitcher, needs to be stretched out, but they'll get their work in. We'll get through this. It doesn't mean they can't throw while in quarantine. They just have to throw at what? A wall? With a red circle painted on it?
At home, though, right? I mean, they're not at the facility,
home?
Though.
Yeah, and you know, like, what if Keller just lives in a condo? He's going to a park with you know, like, the ability to get work in right now is going to be nearly impossible for these players. We're well past the, like, let's panic every time one player tests positive. But I'm also not the people who are just like, oh, well, they're symptomatic. Are they hospitalized? Well, they're not hospitalized. They're fine. You're like, well, I mean, maybe. Like, we don't know that. And we know that, like, a lot of this is about the risk they put into others, so they know they have to lay low because they can't put other people at risk. But this is problematic for the Royals. For a team that we're saying, hey, the world is there, like, what an opportunity this year. It's 60 games. Who cares what Pakoda said yesterday? I think he had him at, like, 24 and a half game wins.
That's right where the over-under is for Vegas.
Yeah. Who cares what Pakoda says? Who cares what Vegas says? This is a sprint, not a marathon. You don't know. One thing that is largely dependent on that is they do not have the ability to just lose starters. Ryan O'Hearn was supposed to be a part of a tandem to start at first base. Okay. Brad Keller was supposed to be maybe your opening day starter. So if he's not ready to go in 2 weeks, then that means you got to carry enough pitchers to cover behind him. Like maybe he's not stretched out, so he can only go 2 or 3 innings in his first start. And then 3 innings in his second. And then 4 or 5 in his third. You're talking about halfway through the season. Like, in a season where you might get 10 starts, if it takes you 4 starts to get up and going, you're 40% of the way through the season before we can trust you to go 5 or 6. Like, it becomes
Timing's a huge part of it, right? I mean, timing's a huge part of this if you're looking at when, in fact, it happens, whether it's now before the season
sure.
or in season, to go with your timeline that you brought up there. What if it's September, 1st of September, and then you have, well, then essentially your season's done at that point as a player. Essentially, your season would be done at that point if it happened in early September. You wouldn't be effective. Talking about 2 weeks just being out, and then you're not stretched out. You lose the season at that point. That's the issue.
It is weird because I think people look at this now, and they, you know, Keller will probably say this when the first time he talks to the media and Salvador Perez, and I think Matheny essentially said this about Perez, is the consensus at the moment is like, well, better now than later. But it's going to happen later, too. You know, like I don't think we're getting through the rest of a major league season. And what's happened here, Gold, is some of the players who have tested positive have then take that as an opportunity to just get out for the year. Like David Price is like, well, fellas, it's been a treat, but gotta go. See ya. Enjoy the rest of your season. And I don't get that sense from any Royals players. Anybody you've spoken to, even Witt was really bullish in his comments earlier this week about how, like, nah, that was never even a consideration.
Yeah, both Witt and Jorge Lopez were, opting out was never something.
Not even going to consider it. Which means if they test positive, they're not going to just be like, well, maybe I should have thought about that. No, if you were 100, like, if you had some reservation, if you were like, I don't know, man, obviously I should play, I'm a little scared, but, you know, yeah, I'm going to play. And then you test positive, you'd be like, nope, I'm done. Thanks. Like, I can see how it goes that way. But they've got, I mean, baseball's going to have some issues here. And the fact that the Royals already have three who would have been projected starters for this team. These aren't just any players. You know, Eric, you know, I know that you don't want to be, like, minimalize guys who would get it, but it wouldn't be as big of a deal in Kansas City if Eric Mejia got it.
I know what you're saying. Salvador Perez is expected
to be a starter, at least at the halftime starter. Salvador Perez is expected to be your starter. Brad Keller's expected to be your opening day starter. Like, these aren't just dudes who are getting it. These are guys who you were expecting to have major impact on your team.
No, key roles, no question about that. Mike Matheny joined the guys on Fesco in the morning. Hear what he had to say coming up at 10:45 about, well, does this bring more opportunity for some of the younger guys, though, to see some time? We know it was exciting, people were seeing. I know Vern was tweeting about it, and, you know, Bobby Witt's out there with Mondesi. Ooh. And, like, that's fun just to think about, get that image going. So we'll hear from Mike Matheny as he joined the guys this morning coming up at 10:45. We know yesterday, though, was Mahomes Day, and it all took place with the press conference with Reed, Veach, and Mahomes, and certainly was just a celebration, really.
Plus, he keeps dropping all those dope videos on Twitter.
He does.
Those are tremendously done.
Oh, they're all fantastic.
Yeah, that's some solid work. Whoever's doing that for him.
I believe it's, is it Billy Quach? Or I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, but used to work with the Chiefs. Now he's with local media company. But I believe that's who does a lot of those videos for him, and they're fantastic.
Billy's doing fine work.
So when you listen to what Mahomes, Reed, and Veach said, though, it was pretty clear coming out of the press conference yesterday that going into this negotiation, Mahomes had a couple things in mind. Yeah, he wanted the financial security, and he certainly got that, right? It's potentially $500 million, but also
security.
Did not want to really handcuff the organization going forward and make it to where they aren't able to build a winner around him as well. Now, Patrick Mahomes, of course, is as good of a starting block as you could ever possibly imagine in sports, right? But you still need to be able to surround him with talent. And they wanted to make sure they were able to do that, both sides. And that's why they ultimately were able to come to an agreement. Because, I mean, I was on a Denver radio station yesterday, and multiple times they're like, don't you think Mahomes left something on the table here? And I was like, I got the thought of it. I understood it. And it's crazy because we're still talking about
the national consensus seems to be that $500 million was a discount.
Right. Isn't that amazing? Like, that's what that Brandon Stokely, who former NFL wide receiver, he now hosts that show in Denver. Yeah. And he's like, as a player, he's like, I would never have signed a 10-year deal. He's like, you know, he has all the leverage in the world. Why is he signing this? And I think it was clear that it was more of a partnership that was worked on between these two sides to make sure that each got taken care of. And it's rare in sports. Like, we're not used to seeing that, but that's what happened. He wanted to make sure he can chase a dynasty and build a legacy. And we're not talking about the financial stability and winning the one ring. He's talking about making sure he can have a legacy to where he is potentially the greatest quarterback or football player of all time. Like, that's where his head is at. That's where he can get, Cody.
Well, and having the financial flexibility to know what you spend at quarterback every year is huge. Like, saying for the next 10 years, this is what we're spending at quarterback. For the next 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And let's say after 6 years, we think we're just going to tear this thing up, sign him to a different 10-year contract, and we think it's going to be around here. You can actually do the planning. You'd mentioned the fact that it didn't feel like they were fighting. Brett Veach actually echoed that yesterday. He had this to say about whether or not it felt contentious at all in those conversations.
It was unique in the sense that there was never a sense of we need to win this or we have to win this. This was how can we get this done? And again, that goes back to Pat, because ultimately Chris and Lee work for Pat, and Pat has to have, again, I keep repeating myself, this long-term vision on what he wants his legacy to be. But there was never a sense, and again, I've seen it in all different forms and fashions with bigger deals and longer deals, there's always a contentious point. And I don't think it ever reached that, because we were just all on the same page. We were all committed to making this work. Certainly Pat is deserving of the largest contract in U.S. sports history. But how can we get creative to recognize him, to set those benchmarks, but also find a way that we can surround him with talent and he can go out there and have fun and do the things that he's capable of. And, you know, I think that having that relationship and again, going back to Chris and I talking about this vision back in 17 and now that we're here, let's continue this. And how can we turn one Super Bowl into 2, 3, and 4 and, you know, continue to add to Pat's legacy?
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was surprised when they said, all right, Patrick Mahomes got extension. I'm like, not surprised. It's the, you know, richest contract in the NFL. Okay, not surprised. It's for 10 years. I was like, whoa,
sure.
What? 10 years? 10? But that's where they, that was the only way to give yourself long-term flexibility with the contract. So when Brett Veach in that thing yesterday also said, like, hey, there's a lot of different ways to move the money around. You know how much easier it is to move the money around in a 4-year deal versus a 10-year deal? Significantly. Because you can just keep being like, all right, so yeah, we're going to convert your entire $40 million salary this year to signing bonus, and we're going to spread it out $10 million each year over the next 4 years. And then next year, we're just going to convert some.
That's what we've seen with Brady time and time again.
Yes. But the years in this actually give them, that's what gives them the flexibility. Mahomes gave that up. Now, he's still staring down the barrel of $500 million.
$500
million is a whole lot of financial security.
He was on with the guys on the drive exclusively yesterday, and he's like, you know, I got this stability for my grandkids' grandkids. Generational
That's
wealth.
Not even going far enough. $500 million would go further
grandkids,
than my...
Grandkids, grandkids, grandkids.
Yeah, I mean, just like one of those dudes who live in those manors with, like, moats in front from medieval time. Like, I mean, that's the kind of... I mean... Trust me, you'll never, like, unless they become professional athletes, you won't necessarily, like, be familiar with them. Someone will get married, and you'll be like, where did this person get all their money? Be like, oh, yeah, that's Mahomes' great-great-grandniece or something. You're like, oh, got it. Like, it is that level of wealth, which is, you know, beyond comprehension. I can't even understand what $1 million is. A half a billion dollars is... Might as well
and
be Monopoly money.
Before endorsements, too. And we already know he's got some big ones with Oakley and Adidas for, and who knows what's to come. State Farm, who knows what's to come.
Yeah, remember when he didn't want to take endorsements his first year because he didn't want to distract from his vision? Honestly, if he never wanted to take another endorsement for the rest of his life, he doesn't have to. He's got $500 million.
Andy Reid echoing just how rare really the unselfishness is when you're talking about what they were able to accomplish.
That was so aware of the surroundings, like he is on everything, making sure that not only was his deal done, but also almost to a T, was that he wanted the organization to have an opportunity to be able to bring in players, and that's a, in this day and age, that unselfishness is a tough thing to find at times. So my hat goes off to him and his maturity in this whole thing.
I mean, that's it. It won't be the last time there will be, whether we talk about Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson, where, you know, if Lamar Jackson goes out and has another unbelievable season where he gets a deal and maybe he tries to work with the Ravens so they can, right, so they can have a long-term future in dynasty. Sure. Like, it's that part itself.
But no other quarterback should sign that length of contract, because why would you trust them to actually keep you on the roster?
Right. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson, by the way, is signing a 10-year deal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there will be other players that will be unselfish, but you're not seeing it to this extent. Like, Mahomes could have either not only shortened the length of it, they could have gone and asked for even more within it and made things a little bit more challenging for Kansas City, but they didn't go that route. Both sides, it's one of those rare deals in sports where right now it appears both sides won. And in fact, most people will say, you know what? The Chiefs got a great deal out of this, not just because you're getting the most important asset and best asset in sports, but you are also having flexibility still going forward. And yeah, there's a chance this deal 6 or 7 years into it, maybe it gets ripped up. And because
you just give another pile of money and it's fine. Who cares?
Yeah, like at this point, you're like, okay.
Oh, that's not even a concern. It's not. Mahomes did talk about that. He said a big drive was, like you said, making sure the team had the flexibility that they know they need.
It was very important. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things you have to take into account whenever you're signing one of these type of deals. I mean, I understand that I'm as good as the guys that are around me, and I understand that being a part of this team has made me be the best player that I can be. And so I want to keep those guys around me. I want to reward those guys for being the players that they are and having the success they've had so far in their career. And I know that with this contract, I'll be able to have flexibility to help do that and to help out my team in every way possible. And I'm excited that we have a young nucleus of players that will be able to stay together for a long time.
I'm not the, like, he, I think maybe 10 seconds after that, like, I'm not the only guy who deserves to get paid is a really good sentiment to have when you're the guy who just got $500 million. You should be the loudest guy banging the drum that Chris Jones deserves his money. Because, yeah, Chris Jones has earned his money too, and he's looking for a fifth of what you just got. Okay, so he's looking for, you know, real discount. And by the way, $100 million is generational wealth.
Sure, absolutely.
Maybe it's not his grandkids' grandkids' grandkids, but it's his grandkids' grandkids. It's enough money that, you know, a few generations of the Chris Jones family is not going to have to worry about anything for a very long time. But it's the right attitude.
Oh, it's awesome to see it here.
It's not, he didn't just give it the milk away for free here.
No.
He got plenty of money. He's just giving them enough financial flexibility and enough long-term vision with it that they're able to maneuver a little bit. It doesn't mean they can just sign whoever the hell they want. He's not on some rookie deal anymore. The league men stuff is done. Like, we're out. You're in the paying big boy money to the quarterback position, which means you no longer have that advantage that teams have in a team's rookie deal. But at least he was willing to give them the flexibility he was able to offer.
The last 48 hours have been awesome. And if you're in Kansas City, this is awesome.
Oh,
this is fantastic. You get to keep the best quarterback, perhaps eventually the best quarterback of all time in your city for at least the next 12 years.
Yeah.
At least the next 12 years.
Think
amazing.
About what the previous 12 years of quarterbacking were before Patrick Mahomes got here. It was 10 years ago that a season saw Croyle, Palko, and others, all Heward, all play quarterback
in the
city. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. If you think the next 10 years is all Mahomes, the previous 10 years saw a lot of different teams. Matter of fact, it was like Danny Parkins, who, you know, obviously used to work, who was in Chicago. The conversation they were having in Chicago was over under 15.5 starting quarterbacks for the Bears during this Mahomes contract. I'm like, oh my God. Those are the conversations the Chiefs fans
don't
used to
miss
have
that.
10
don't
years
miss
ago.
That.
No, no, no. This is a way better,
by the way,
way more fun way, conversation to have.
I still would probably take the under. I'd still take the under on that. Is that an actual question? That's.
I'd probably take the under, but I wouldn't feel great about it.
I think I have
it.
To take the under on that, though.
Couple of injuries, man. I feel like you're like four quarterbacks or some backup injuries, plus at least three starters. I mean, you got to take the under, but you don't feel good about it.
It has to depend on Nick Foles this year, too, a little bit, right? I mean, if Nick Foles ends up being...
They might have two starting quarterbacks this year. And then next year they're going to draft a guy and they're going to start a vet. And maybe it's not the vet of those two guys. Like they're going to be at least one more in. They're going to be three quarterbacks in the next year and a half. So, I mean, I don't know. It's not crazy to think that it's going to
be. Yeah, you should keep track across the entire National Football League over the next 12 years. How many teams have different starting quarterbacks?
This is like the how many different Browns have had during. But the Chiefs used to be this team. Be like, how many different starting quarterbacks have they had since Philip Rivers? It didn't even matter who. John Elway. Like, even during those runs, they were cycling through starting quarterbacks every 4 or 5 years in a good run. Like, Alex Smith was a good run at starter. Oh, man, you went 4 years with the same guy? Sweet. Like, that was a win. Now you're talking about the same guy for 15 years? They haven't gotten to experience anything like that since Lynn Dawson.
Coming up in 90 seconds, Cody's Return to Sports Update. Plus, how many more for Big Red? Next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up at 11 o'clock, Danny Welniak will join us. Normally on a Tuesday, but obviously there was just a little bit of a press kit, just kind of a big deal. Yeah, just a big press conference yesterday that moved things around. So we'll talk all things Chiefs and, of course, what's going on with the Royals with Danny coming up at 11 o'clock. I'm sure Cody will have some more parenting advice, too.
I do. I'm set.
See where you head on that as we continue. I think you're up to three tips so far.
Kids are complicated. I got a lot of different pieces of advice for them.
There you go. We'll also get to Trash of the Day in about 10 minutes. But how many more for Big Red? Andy Reid, we have talked about where he could be 5 years from now. Is it on a sideline in Kansas City, for example? I think all three of us have been pretty optimistic that, look, you just come off a Super Bowl win, and you finally got that. But just like Patrick Mahomes is talking about legacy, there's legacy building to be had potentially if you are Andy Reid as well. And, you know, some people said maybe he's only coaching for three or four more years. We both, I think all three of us have said, I think it's at least five, if not north of that. And, you know, I've even joked about Brett Veach. What did I say? 2035, Brett Veach will still be the general manager in Kansas City. I feel a lot more confident about that, by the way, after seeing a 12-year deal overall with Patrick Mahomes. But what you heard from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes yesterday about where they're both at with their own conversations, where Andy Reid's at about his future, like how can you not feel good about the potential that these two guys, man, are going to be together for a while?
I haven't got to that point mentally where I'm thinking about retirement. I love doing what I'm doing. One of the great things about this job is when you look forward to coming to work to deal with guys, the players, the coaches, and I'm lucky enough to be around good players and coaches. And then this guy here makes it even better. So it's he has a, you know, we always talk about the great quarterbacks make everybody around him greater. So and he has a unique ability to do that with his teammates. And I haven't, the Honey Badger is part of this too. So he was the first guy that texted myself and Brett when the deal got done. We got a text from Tyron, and he just said, "Hey, what a great thing you did." But they both, those two, make our jobs very enjoyable. Being able to come to work and have two great leaders like that, along with the other guys that love to play the game. So listen, if it takes me into my 70s, let's roll, Herbie. Doggone it. I'm ready to go.
So Andy, he's 62 right now.
That's Herbie Teope he's talking about.
That was an enjoyable moment yesterday when that happened live. Look, you have a generational talent in Patrick Mahomes. You finally found your guy. Maybe will end up being, again, the best quarterback to ever play the game. And you are 62 right now. Unfortunately, there's no health issues going on. Like, why are you not wanting to just roll this thing out for a while? Like, that to me is exactly the approach I would be taking. And as a Chiefs fan, that's very comforting to know that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it sounds like, at least right now, there's no reason to believe those two guys aren't going to be together for a long time.
Why would it only be 2 or 3 or 4 years? Like, for the people who guess on the low end.
Yeah.
And none of us have a really good sense of this. Andy has always, his answer privately, publicly, whatever, has consistently been, "I don't even think about that right now." And if he's not even thinking about it right now, what makes us think he's going to be thinking about it in 3 years when he has the best quarterback in the NFL? Why would he have been doing it all of this time just to get this guy and then be like, "You know what, fellas? It's been great." Because and Andy doesn't care about legacy either. I think he just loves coaching football. Like, I don't think he sits at night,
but man, it's, you have a chance to put yourself right there.
He can be Mount Rushmore. He can be, like, anytime if, like, certain, I'm just like, "Hey, name 5 of the greatest coaches of all time." We all kind of come up with the same list, right? You say Walsh, Belichick, Shula. It's the same names. There's no variation in what we say. Right now, Reed's name isn't in that conversation. Fair or unfair, it's not in that conversation. One Super Bowl doesn't usually get you part of that conversation. You have to be an innovator offensively. He's been that. You have to have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He now is getting ready to have that. And you got to win a couple of Super Bowls. I think that Andy Reid has a chance to put himself in the pantheon if he spends the next 8 years racking up a couple more titles and letting Mahomes throw for billions of yards.
And Belichick is 68 years old, and nobody's right now talking about, "Oh, is this the final year for Bill?" No, nobody's saying that. And Tom Brady just left. Like, and nobody's like, "Oh, Bill's only probably coaching another year or so."
No, Bill wants to prove he can do it without Tom, which means he can do this 4 or 5 years. Maybe.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll's 68 years old. Pete Carroll looks like he's got plenty of energy still, too, by the way. Right? And nobody's talking about Pete Carroll retiring in the next year or two. Andy Reid's 62. Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes. I don't see it happening anytime soon. I was really, really excited to hear that from Andy Reid yesterday. And I think all Chiefs fans, we know that, hey, these two together, and you pair them up also with what you have in the front office level right now in Kansas City. Like, this is as good as it gets. Like, the setup, things right now, I mean, nothing's ever perfect, but man, if it could, this is as close as you can get to that right now with the setup that you have. And it works so well together.
Even Mahomes had admitted yesterday that he talked to him before. Yeah. He's like, "You're going to be around a while, right, coach?" "Yeah." "All right, cool." 10 years? "Sure."
Well, Mahomes obviously helps too, but I would say even his entire time here in Kansas City, even with Alex, just felt like he was having more fun than he was at the end of his time in Philadelphia. And part of that was, I think he was just overextended in Philadelphia. He was just doing too much. And now he's got a team in place and an establishment in place here where all he has to do is the stuff that he likes doing.
It's funny to me why more coaches who don't, like, Bill Belichick is such a sour ass, and Bill O'Brien's so sensitive about his job. You're like, you do realize you could just do the coaching part. You don't have to do all the other stuff. The problem is that some of those guys have been in negative relationships before, or you know, they've seen the negative relationship. They're like, stupid Ryan Pace, you're ruining my life. Stop giving me these people. Like, coaches and GMs don't always get along. The thing about here in Kansas City, a real benefit here in Kansas City is, dude, Veach and Andy are boys.
Andy Reid handpicked Veach.
Veach got his job in the NFL because of Andy Reid. They're not going to see, it doesn't mean they're never going to disagree on a player, but they're not going to get sideways with each other. And the easiest thing to get sideways with from your GM is quarterback. Like, they draft a guy you didn't want them to draft. They bring in a different guy. They sign a free agent. You don't pay the guy they want you to pay. You don't pay him as much. You let him get out of there. Right? That's the easiest way to get sideways with coach and general managers, the quarterback position. That just doesn't exist here.
That isn't
a problem. So it's like with Andy and his legacy and how many he can go, there is still no, like, it's crazy because at 62, that's not normally when you're like, hey, can you just put yourself in the list? That's not usually when you put yourself on the list, but I think he's just going to be a late bloomer to the all-timer list. But I think he has a real opportunity to put himself in that position. I wonder, how old was Shula when he retired? Like, he must have been, he coached till what, like 90, mid-90s, 94, 95?
I think it was later than that, even.
Was it? I thought it was like midnight. I mean, it was forever.
Up till 95, so
oh,
how old was he?
Coached till 95.
Yeah, he coached till
95. And he was born, I mean, he just died at like 90 years old, so he's probably born in like 1930. Yep. This isn't hard math to do. So when he was, so if he coached till 1995, he was what? 75? I'm only 65?
So he coached into his 70s.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, fine. Like, it's
early 70.
Yeah, but people find a lot of different range within that. Like we said, Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll, people aren't necessarily talking about this being the end of the road. And you know why it's not the end of the road for Pete Carroll? He has Russell Wilson, who I think is the second best quarterback in the NFL. Why would he walk away from that? Andy Reid has a chance to do some he's already passed the, like, best coach to never win it. He's going to have all the wins. He's going to have playoff success. He's got multiple Super Bowl playoff appearances. He's got a whole bunch of title game appearances. He's got all the other stuff except for just stacking a few extra rings together.
And the Belichick-Brady thing is right now each one's trying to prove they can win without the other. So that's why if Brady and Belichick's relationship was better and they were just riding this thing out together till they both were going to retire.
Into the sunset,
Then they're both done at the same time or at least roughly around the same time. It's just it's a different scenario with why Belichick is hung around. But like if I were to tell you that, I mean, Belichick and Pete Carroll, are they both still coaching 3 years from now? I would have to say yes. And that puts him at age 71.
Not sure exactly what this means, but the Chiefs did just tweet out, under guidance from local authorities and the CDC, Arrowhead Stadium will have a reduced capacity this year. They're still not saying if they're going to let anybody in beyond that. They're just telling you it won't be 100% full.
Interesting.
I mean, that's pretty vague.
They did just announce their season ticket plan.
So here we go. We just got an email from them. So yeah, under guidance from, as you said, from local authorities and the CDC, Arrowhead will have a reduced capacity this year. Details for season ticket holders and purchasers.
Season ticket members will be automatically included in a single game pre-sale for any available seats in 2020. Their credit can be utilized to purchase single game tickets if they've already been paying on those. They'll receive season ticket member box. Well, that doesn't matter.
More importantly, the pricing will remain flat for 2021. They will accrue a year of season ticket member.
Well, and here's the point. Season ticket members are not going to get full season tickets. They're not going to get to just go to all 8 games this year. They'll be included in single game pre-sales leading into the season with their payment credit can be used for the single game tickets and then they can be rolled over to the others. That would tell you that the Chiefs' plan is still currently to have some people in the stands and a majority of those tickets are going to be available as single game tickets to season ticket members first and then any money they don't spend, you know.
Yeah, basically.
Can be rolled into the next year, which doesn't really matter unless you're a season ticket member.
Not surprising if you look at what other NFL teams have kind of done as well. You know, basically, right? They're not sure exactly what capacity, if any capacity, is going to take place.
And essentially, they're offering credits and refunds depending on what you want to do with that going forward.
They also did mention that they'll conduct reduced capacity single game on sale once the final number of seats are determined. So really, it's
letting you know that your season tickets aren't season tickets this year. That's pretty simply put.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know what that's going to mean for fan capacity because they still haven't made those decisions. I don't think they're anywhere close to making those decisions yet. I think they're still weeks out, maybe a month out of making calls like that. But as it sits right now, they know it's going to be reduced capacity, which, by the way, not surprising.
No.
Everything we all expected. It was just a matter of how they were going to handle ticketing requests moving forward. Limited. It's going to be limited.
And it'll be interesting as well because as it's pointed out in that email and that release from the Chiefs under local guidelines, right, and also CDC recommendations. So each city that these NFL stadiums are in, it's going just because Arrowhead, let's say, I'm just throwing out randomly, has 10,000, and down in Dallas at Jerry World, they've got 40 or, whatever. It's going to be different. And the NFL, I remember there was, just 2 weeks ago, there was a story that the NFL is not going to keep it a level playing field in that regard, right? They're not going to limit if one place only has X amount, then you can't have X amount. So just a little interesting news there from the Chiefs.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get into a little fun here. So Hasbro, right, the makers of board games and the maker of Scrabble, says it has come to an agreement with a major Scrabble Players Association.
Not even sure I knew that existed.
The use of slurs in tournament play. The last part there, obviously a good thing. Surprise, honestly, that it wasn't banned already. But I had zero clue that Scrabble players had an association. I need to know how strong this player, are they unionized here? Scrabble Players Association. I looked it up some more, Cody. Baltimore, Maryland, apparently the headquarters for this. There's a Scrabble's National Convention, which I knew about, but I didn't know it was in Baltimore. It's been canceled, by the way. So if you're planning on going to that, sorry, that's canceled because of COVID. Players Association, what kind of benefits do they get? Do they have labor disagreements as well? Is this very public?
Also,
back and forth? Are there prorated salaries to be discussed?
Were people just dropping racial slurs in competitive Scrabble games this whole time?
Is that how people were winning?
Did this need to be a rule? Like, also, isn't that slang? You can't really use slang in Scrabble games. I like if we get rid of proper nouns forever, but we're just now getting rid of racial slurs.
Scrabble Players Association.
I mean, I feel like there's probably a lot of questionable people.
Is there
that are in competitive Scrabble? I feel like that gets ugly.
Is there a chess player association too, then? I'm guessing.
Probably, but
Monopoly?
At least that game's been around for a while. I don't know.
I mean, Monopoly doesn't take the skill. At least these take some skill. Scrabble, obviously, chess, checkers are skill involved. Monopoly, there's no skill. You just roll with it. That's why I wanted
to say there's no skill in Monopoly?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
There's not really skill.
Incorrect.
Not nearly on the same level as chess, checkers, Scrabble. Not even close. You think it's the same?
I mean, chess requires checkers? We're saying Monopoly doesn't have as much skill as checkers.
I think there's more skill / strategy.
No, there's not more strategy
skill
than checkers.
Skill and strategy checkers versus Monopoly.
Than Monopoly. No, there's like 1,000 different things you can do in Monopoly.
Yeah, but
all you can do is checkers is king me or move.
But I got to
pay. Or double jump. There's four moves in checkers.
I got to pay more attention, man, playing checkers or chess and Scrabble than I got to do playing Monopoly. I'm just laying back, whatever. It's been 2 hours. This is boring. I'm upset. Let's stop playing Monopoly.
There's four moves in checkers. There's 1,000 different ways you can buy property, sell property, trade, build, buy houses. Is it the right time? There's a lot more.
It's a game of life. Is that there's a bunch there? The life. Yeah. Shoots and ladders. Shoots and ladders.
Well, there's more than that. Then Scrabble requires obviously just a deep. There is some strategy to that because you're trying to hit double, triple, or
right.
Whatever. You're trying not to expose those tiles before that, but throwing checkers around.
The text line, 913-576-7610. Apparently, the high school nationals for Scrabble were here back in 2001. Bonner Springs took 7th in the unranked category. Okay. All right. Players Association for Scrabble. There you go. Never knew.
Was that in the competition? How else did he know that?
Or
are we really flexing that the national Scrabble competition was here 19 years ago?
We take pride in our city under a lot of different circumstances.
I mean, who needs that FIFA 2026 World Cup bid in Kansas City? Dang it. We got to start bidding for the Scrabble Nationals. Focus our priorities.
Who needs the World Cup?
Yeah.
Let's get the Scrabble Nationals.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk with Danny Welniak of KCTV5. All right, so we're seeing out at Kauffman Stadium. In fact, tonight they'll have a little inter-squad game going on. They've had coming up on a week since players arrived. Today actually is a week since they've arrived. This Friday will be a week since workouts started. And Mike Matheny, he joined the guys on Fesco in the morning today. And with these positive tests that are out there from Brad Keller and Ryan O'Hearn and Salvador Perez, one, that might, in its own right, depending on if you just need it for numbers, might bring some more playing time in the future for some players, pitchers, position players, whatever it may be. Hopefully that's not the case and this thing gets settled out a little bit more. But it was fun to see people tweeting about Bobby Witt and Mondesi out there on the field together, Cody. That was fun to see.
In fairness, the Royals were adding a little bit of fuel to it because they're out here dropping quotes from Mike Matheny saying, oh, you know, we'll need to see him in the same infield at some point, right? I mean, so let's just accept. Like, and it wasn't even that vague. Like, well, you know, we don't know. And this could tell you something a little bit about their future plans to go with it. But the idea that they were just saying, hey, this is another possibility. What was the exact quote? There are times they're going to be on the field at the same time, and Mondesi is going to be at shortstop. Felt better putting Witt at third so he didn't have to make turns at second base. I'm like, And honestly, you know what made me think? Just screw it. Just put Witt on the 30-man roster. I know it's never going to happen, but just do it for me. What's your, like, Serta Gold? Like, what's your, like, if your interest level, let's just call it, let's call yours 20% now, 60-game season. You're a little higher than normal. Mine's like 98%, so it doesn't matter. How much more interest do I have Bobby Witt, like a 19 or 20-year-old, is just on the team now and you're going to watch him play? Couple percentage, right? You're a little more interested.
Well, definitely would if, what, the back half of the season, if it's in back half of the season, if they're not in the mix.
I mean, I'm not going to be super interested.
Come on.
But that's me. I understand that people are ready for baseball and interested, but you could convince me to watch more if they just went all young and said, we're just going to go for it and see what we
have. And there's an entire team full of 19 through 25-year-olds?
Yeah, I'd be interested in that.
I think more than anything, again, as exciting as it is with Mondesi and Witt out there, specifically with Witt there, it's about what we've discussed for the last couple of weeks, which is, and certainly when that roster came out, the 60-man roster.
Let's be careful. Like, Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
I think people are used to it saying, no. It's a silly
Bobby Witt Jr. Witt. Yeah. When we're talking about the young guy,
I think
specifically,
he's going to be, like, it's hard. They can't both be Witt.
What are they just going to call him Bobby?
Bobby?
Bobby Maybe. And then Witt.
Bobby? That's like a little kid's name.
Junior?
That's no good.
We gotta figure that out.
Junior.
We'll have to have Bobby Witt Jr. Maybe on the show.
Maybe Whit Merrifield
find out.
Gets the two-name approach. He's Whit Merrifield. The other guy's just Witt.
We'll have to figure out how that's going there. But, as far as Bobby Witt Jr., I think we realized that when he was on the roster, it was about, what, minor leagues not happening. You want to make sure you're not losing a year of development as well. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Now, Mike Matheny was asked, will the younger guys actually get a chance this year?
What we want these guys to do, every single one of them that you mentioned, we want them to come in here and compete and show us what they can do. And then we'll just have to evaluate where we are. The thing that I continue to watch and continue to make sure people keep an eye on is the development also of some of these players who have kind of just been on the cusp, who have just been right there. You know, a name that comes to mind would be a Josh DeMont that we've heard about for so many years. And then something clicks where he kind of bonds with a Trevor Rosenthal, very similar style pitcher, and kind of something registers to where he takes his game to another level. We have a number of players who've been like that, right there at the doorstep, maybe even had their toe in the water in the major leagues, but haven't quite taken hold of it yet. There's a big group of them as well as that group that is coming. And then, you know, you never want to undervalue what you have when you have veteran pitchers like a Danny Duffy, his stuff is so good, and what Ian Kennedy did last year. And right down the line with Keller and Junis and Montgomery, I mean, what are these guys doing that maybe taking their game to another level? And realizing all this noise about some of the guys that are on the way, you know what, that kind of sets them off a little bit. And they want to get in there and say, hey, don't forget about us because we've got some good stuff here, and let's see how that plays into this season.
That last part's interesting. I mean, we do talk about, all right, it's good for Bobby Witt Jr. and some of the other young guys just to experience being around big league
but
pitching.
But are you motivated by the threat of losing your job?
But are some of the veterans, the guys that have been around for a little while, they're looking at this like, hey, and obviously what's the end result? That's great for everybody. Right? There's competition, perhaps, whether there really is or not. Like, that's as a competitor,
yes,
that's how you're viewing it. That truly brings out the best in everybody. That's another reason why I think when you talk about the Royals in a 60-game stretch versus some of these truly veteran teams that are out there, and you know, seeing what the Yankees are going through or the Dodgers, even with some guys opting out, like the difference that the Royals have, just the motivating fact. I feel like they are more motivated than some of the other teams.
It'll be the first time we've seen this with Kansas City. The last time they had a core guys come up, everybody who was on the major league roster, people knew wasn't the guy.
True.
Like a large majority. You knew they weren't the guy or they weren't competing for their job. They were going to have their job like Perez. The rest were not competing for it. We knew that all the other, like, be like, Guile's not keeping this gig, okay? Like, it was a lot of, like, a lot of major leaguers who weren't going to be pushed by those young guys that came up. But then since that core left from the World Series, they haven't been pushed because there weren't high-level prospects pushing them from their locations. It was undervalued guys like Whit Merrifield coming and sticking their nose in things, taking the jobs away because they were so good. They've been playing so great. This is different. All of those pitchers have just been, yeah, fair enough. Had their spot because there was no one to take it from them. Might have someone to take it from them.
Last minute.
While Washington owner Dan Snyder goes through the process of considering a name change, one of his baseball brethren is digging in on its name while considering other steps. According to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the Atlanta Braves will not change their name, but they're discussing continued use of the Tomahawk Chop chant.
Which I think Kansas City, the Chiefs, will probably be discussing that here soon as well. Because I don't think they're going to be real quick to change their... Like, I don't think they are going to really discuss that until the pressure is put on the teams above about whether or not they need to have that conversation. The Redskins have to do it.
Yeah, and they are. I mean,
the Indians really should. The Braves would be next on that list, and I'm guessing that's why they're pushing back on this. This is the same thing we've seen from these teams going before. Until the spotlight squarely on you, do you really feel the heat?
Yeah, I think if you're going through kind of the pecking order where you're at out of those teams you just brought up, the Chiefs would fall on, you know, fourth on that list. I think even when discussing the Chiefs, if there's anything that you're, as a fan, you're looking at and say, oh, is this going to be taken away? Is this something that the organization needs to move from? The Chop would probably be the first place that you got to look. Absolutely would be the first place. Remember the Braves, a couple years ago, they had the issue. There was, I remember what team the opponent was playing for, but he's Native American. And they took a lot of backlash because their fans were, intentionally almost doing it at that point in time. They said, well, we're not going to do it when we're playing him, which was essentially agreeing that, oh, that's offensive. So then, okay, why are you keeping it? So, but the Braves, I think the Chiefs are further down the list as far as where it goes.
I mean, it is at the way top end of something they got to get out of there.
Yeah, like, for them, not team wise.
You can't
stop
fans from doing it, but you got to stop encouraging it, as in playing the noise that plays when people.
Headdresses, I can't believe people are still wearing those. The very few people that are still wearing those. That's just ridiculous.
The Chiefs have eliminated that from all of their stuff. They've made some of those moves we're talking about with the Braves. The fact that some of these teams are telling some of these things tells you one thing or another.
Coming up next, we head into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll continue our countdown to opening day. We'll get into the Chiefs red half hour. And why do people keep saying this about the future of the offense in KC? But next, Danny Welniak, KCTV 5. Stop spot.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.